the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
And you know what that means? We have something to give away right now. Do a lot of stuff around the house, Pat? You handy like that?
No.
I'm not either, but I like finding out new ideas and inspiration and then...
My big thing is taking my golf clubs out of the garage and putting them in my car. That's housework. Right, Kevin?
It's a lot of work. You guys in the golfing community.
I'm with you.
I think Ro was playing a little golf this
weekend,
too.
We got some golf themes coming up, I think.
You guys do?
No, in the top five.
Oh,
five.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A little Tiger Woods. Like you're looking ahead there, peeking ahead.
Little news over the weekend.
Oh, my word. A lot to get to there. Let's start out, though, with...
Number five.
The White House. Here's the big news out of Washington this weekend. Bringing you up to speed here if you weren't paying attention to everything going on. And we give you credit if you were able to tune things out because it's not always fun to listen in. But the White House deflecting questions about Jared Kushner's alleged attempts to create back-channel communications with Russian officials before the inauguration and whether President Trump knew about them. Sean Spicer, back, serving as the White House press spokesperson today after a little bit off. He was time off, I should say. He was at the press briefing today, but would not answer questions about whether President Trump has been meeting with private attorneys or what he knew about the back channel communications.
Well, how is it that it's appropriate for someone who's a private citizen, not sworn in as an official of the U.S. government, to conduct any kind of negotiation or diplomacy with a foreign official?
Again, I would just refer you to both the comments that Secretary Kelly, General McMaster have said about how they can be an important tool in diplomacy.
Time there was no one who was close to the president who was working in an official government capacity. How is that appropriate?
Again, I think that both of those individuals who are steeped in national and security and foreign policy have said that that can be an effective tool, generally speaking, in diplomacy.
So we went general on this, saying that can be legal, it can be appropriate, it can be useful to establish back-channel communications. Didn't go further than that, though. The reporters in the room have all been discussing that there weren't any follow-up questions that were answered. There still are some concerns because Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law and very close advisor, did not reveal all of his contacts on his initial disclosure forms. Is that a problem for you, Pat Brady, former chair of the Illinois Republican Party?
Yeah, that usually is where you get in trouble. It's like it's either obstruction or you didn't turn over what you should have turned over, so it's not the crime, it's the cover-up that gets you in trouble. If you didn't turn everything over, you might have problems. But again, maybe I'm in the minority here, but I think this one's overblown.
You think the whole suggestion about Russia in general, you're talking about specifically
this
in regards
one
to
here,
Jared
we don't
Kushner.
Have really any enough facts to be making. I just think they made it too big a story over the weekend because everything Trump does is outrageous, and I think they need to pick and choose, and there's plenty to choose from. But I just didn't think that was as big as that big a story.
And you yourself not a big fan of Donald
nope,
Trump.
No, I'm
certainly
not.
Didn't predict his rise, but not. We have a little more, I think, right, Brian? Yeah, a little more from the news conference today.
I think he's very pleased with the work of his staff. I think that he is frustrated, like I am and like so many others, to see stories come out that are patently false, to see narratives that are wrong, to see quote-unquote fake news. When you see stories get perpetrated that are absolutely false, that are not based in fact, that is troubling. And he's rightly concerned.
So admitting that there are concerns about everything that's out there, I don't know if you can label everything as fake news, but obviously they're feeling the pressure and the heat of the constant criticism of this president.
I thought Spicy was getting yanked.
There are all that. Well, right. The talk about the shakeup, and then today the deputy communications guy stepped down, said that was totally what he had promised to do because he said after the international tour, I'm out. And they're making like that was planned. And the other side is saying, no, this is the beginning of the big shakeup. It's hard to know what to believe in the Trump White House. But Sean's there. He didn't get to meet with the Pope. He was upset about that.
Yeah, that was he was the only Catholic on the trip.
And I thought that was wrong.
Yeah, that was not nice of the president. But, you know, give them credit for... I saw a poll over the weekend, 56% of the country believes that there is actual fake news. I'd never heard that term until about 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been effective in discrediting news organizations, which I think is a really bad development.
I do too.
He went after federal judges. He's gone after the media. I've always said all along, he doesn't respect the institutions of government that are important to government. He didn't respect the FBI director.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of problems.
And that's where he's gotten into trouble as well, I think. You know, I just saw the story today about there are fewer people covering State House, Springfield News now. The reporters,
only
the number.
Four down there, right?
Isn't that, it's just crazy to think that
well,
how
that,
the numbers
the dungeon
are
down there where the reporters mm-hmm. all sit. You go
sure,
down,
I've been
no,
there.
Nobody down there.
and it used to be a pretty crowded place. Yeah. So that's just the sad state of affairs. But the president going after reporters for doing their job, I think, is where he also doesn't gain a lot of support either. We're going to move on here to...
Number four.
Stephen A. Smith. Familiar voice on this program. He had some choice words for Tiger Woods following the golfer's DUI arrest.
Everything that this man has been through is a product of being exposed for being a flagrant, universal, global phony.
Ooh. Smith pointed out on ESPN's First Take, I should say, Woods' troubles actually began in 2009. He points to that year when the former world number one golfer, his extramarital affairs broke and became public. And we remember the incident with the golf club in the car, and his previously wholesome image at that point took a huge hit that is perhaps irreparable.
Whenever that incident occurred outside of his home in Windermere, the last time he won a major was in 2008. The last time he won a PGA Tour event was in 2013. But what really resonates and is really vexing and should be vexing to us all was how the guy was essentially living the life of a complete phony and got exposed. I'm not saying that to denigrate him in any way. I'm speaking about facts.
Complete phony? Is that fair, Chris?
Yeah, maybe old Steven should just keep his mouth shut. Tiger's actually one of the best golfers I've ever seen. He's a competitor. Sure, everybody's got problems. But, man, talk about kicking a guy when he's down. It's kind of over the line.
It's just sad. Tiger Woods is a big reason I played golf. As a kid, I watched him play, and he made me want to play more. So it's just sad to see. I can't remember a rise and fall in the sports world quite like this one.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of the fall, he did have some problems, but you could probably go in any business and find the same kind of problems.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the fall was just his body fell apart on
right.
His
or
knee
fell apart,
and his shoulder.
And then
he
got so huge on top, right? It didn't seem like the normal way the course that golfers go.
He's had problems with his knees going back to his college years. So it's something he's dealt with his entire career, and it added up, obviously. And that's what he pointed to in his statement. He was taking medications and didn't obviously mix them properly.
Mm-hmm. He says no alcohol involved.
Yeah, he just had back fusion surgery last month. It's his fourth back surgery in the last, 3 years, I think. So
he did the knee surgery and all the other surgeries.
Right. And one other thing to keep in mind, too, he's supposed to release the course design for that new project on the mm-hmm. south side at South Shore. That's supposed to be released next month, so hopefully that doesn't delay anything, because that's a really cool project they're putting together.
You know, and I think it might have been Charles Barkley, who sometimes can be very insightful. He's a sports hero, not any other kind of hero. He's a sports figure. And for Stephen Smith to rail on it, he makes a mistake. He's a human being.
Right.
He's still one of the best golfers ever played the game, and he inspired a lot of people, particularly people that aren't the typical white guys that were playing golf in the old days, to play golf. So he's had a bad run here, but I don't think you need to jump on him like this.
Well, but he did. He jumped even further. So here's one more clip from Stephen A. Smith.
You went about the business of making yourself into a billionaire because you marketed yourself as the wholesome family guy, you know, with the beautiful wife, the beautiful home, the beautiful game itself, and the beautiful image. It was meticulously and carefully crafted to manipulate the masses. And when he got caught out there, listen, it's none of our business what happened in his personal life between him and his wife or anything like that. He's the exception. Because he made it our business by selling us something that was the complete antithesis of how he was living. And when he got busted, it's hard to look at the world and know that everyone sees you for the phony that you are.
Goof.
We're going to talk.
I had a great marriage for 16 years, and on occasions I drank too much, and I'm sure my wife wanted to hit me with a golf club.
You think?
It happens, but that's ridiculous.
He's going out there in true Stephen A. style. Jack Nicklaus taking the exact opposite approach, saying he needs our help after arrest on suspicion of DUI. He's feeling sorry for him. We're going to talk more about Tiger later, but we're going to continue with the top five at five. But first, let's take a break to check the traffic trouble spots. Here's Violetta Padromedic.
He's real. He's trusted. He's Larry Potash. Watch Larry and the rest of the WGN Morning News Team weekdays 4 to 10 on Chicago's very own WGN TV.
And we're moving along here with the top five at five.
Number three.
An apparently drunken Southwest Airlines passenger ran screaming onto a Chicago-bound flight in Las Vegas after having been kicked off the plane already, came back on. He was zip-tied to a seat until police arrived. Cell phone video of the incident on flight 3630 shows an airline employee pinning the man to the floor of the plane at McCarran International Airport. It happened yesterday.
You guys back in the aisle, have all y'all go to the back of the plane.
A professional photographer? She probably been dead, man.
Right here.
Yeah,
I'll get it.
Bro, if Willie I don't see nobody look like me on this plane!
But we've had a passenger with an issue that we've had to have removed from the aircraft.
Oh my gosh, where's the Chicago Aviation Police in a situation like that? This guy gets zip-tied.
I think that's one of my brothers.
You recognize that voice? You're like, wait a minute, play that again.
Pitt
Brady knows this guy.
Nobody look like me on this plane!
Yeah, that's my oldest brother.
That is just wrong in so many ways. All right, checking in at...
Number two.
So if you're feeling like you don't get to see enough politics on TV these days, House of Cards returns, much anticipated, and a lot of people already binge watching it. You into the House of Cards?
Oh, Brady? Yeah, love it. Love it.
I do, too. I have not seen this season yet, though. But so you can check out the critically acclaimed series, possibly compete with the gripping drama that is Real Life Washington. Can it? Can it? Kevin Spacey says he can't wait for fans to see it.
Last year, it almost weirdly tracked what was actually going on.
Isn't it weird how they do that?
It's
a great point. You see the storylines with the political dramas on television having to elevate their game to kind of match or at least...
Yeah, it kind of lost me about two-thirds of the way through last season, but it picked up at the end. But this year, I don't know where they're going to go. I love it, though.
At the end of the day, this is entertainment. It doesn't affect your real life.
Well, you watch it for 12 straight hours.
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of people going to be doing this. And here's Kevin Spacey. We have to go back to him. He's got something to say about it.
I think it's one of the most exciting seasons we've done. I think that... I haven't been this excited about a season maybe since the first season. This year in particular, there's been a lot of commentary about how, well, you know, we can't compete with the real world, so it's not going to be as interesting, and the show can't possibly be as crazy as the real world. And my answer to that is, just you wait.
Ooh.
Just you wait.
Well,
wow.
If you go to Washington, I was out there for the inauguration, mm-hmm. and nobody stands near the Metro line anymore.
They're all freaked out.
Everyone's afraid that some Frank Underwood's going to toss them into the train. That scene was unbelievable.
It was. I just hate with the binge watching, people start revealing things.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah,
you don't
yeah.
even want to go on social media because I, you know, I don't know how quickly I'm going to get through them all. But that is going to be fun to watch, it sounds. Checking in at...
Number one.
Back to Tiger Woods. Gilbert Arenas is not buying prescription pill DUI excuse that Tiger Woods said. He said no alcohol. It was the mixture, then had an unexpected response to his pills. The ex-NBA superstar was in West Hollywood when he told TMZ what Tiger should have said in his statement.
Is that a real charge?
He said he mixed medications. He wasn't drinking.
See, then, you know, I'm sorry. Now I can't root for Tiger. Just
really?
Got f***ed up and it was dry, man. That was just medication, really.
So you don't buy that? You don't buy
the
that?
PR team makes him say that.
I know. That's the suckiest about being an athlete. You gotta lie and
pick up stuff.
Just say you got drunk. You got f***ed up like everybody else in America.
But I thought there was zero alcohol in his system that has come out.
Kevin and I were talking. My sources say they found a slider in his mouth, too, and they found him asleep in the car. Right?
Please.
That's probable cause.
Kev, isn't that what you're hearing? Zero?
Yes, they say blue, 0, 0, 0.
Zero
on the breathalyzer.
Alcohol. So.
Just taking a little nap?
There was four different medications they found in his system, including Vicodin. So
was Vicodin, ooh. Ambien, and some real, could be. But if he didn't blow that, he's probably telling the truth. Or blue 00, right?
Yeah. In the police report, it said 00.
So take that, Gilbert.
Good for him.
What's Gilbert Arenas doing these days anyways?
Yeah, right. Good point. All right, let's wrap this thing up.
There, you
I think I hit the wrong button there. We're going to check in with Judy's News in 2 minutes.